What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Tropp, and I'm your host, Katie Tropp. Well, gotta say, those were some pretty awful conference finals showings, at least from the Indiana Pacers and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Let's get right into it, but I'm gonna keep it real, man. I thought out of all the rounds in basketball so far, that shit was pretty terrible. Pretty terrible basketball, at least from two teams. So let's get right into it. Let's start off with the Boston Celtics series versus the Indiana Pacers series that actually ended earlier in the week, game four. Boston, you know, they didn't dominate like you thought they would. Once again, no Tyrese Halliburton. It was still a solid game from them. They got the win. They are now moving on to the NBA Finals, which is, of course, what you want to do. But man, they barely got by the Indiana Pacers pretty much in three out of the four games. It was pretty much Indiana had a good shot at winning all three of those games and really just shot their wad. And in two of those games, they didn't even have Tyrese Halliburton. But Boston did get the win in game four, 105-102. Jaylen Brown ended up being the Eastern Conference MVP. So congratulations to him because, I mean, he really did show out. If anything, Jaylen Brown is probably having the best year of his career so far. And that says a lot because the dude has been balling the whole time. But this year, he has really taken over. And I got to say, I'll get into my NBA Finals talk more on Monday's show. This is more just recapping the conference finals. But I got to say, man, I feel like Jaylen Brown's going to be the X factor for the Boston Celtics because anytime that dude steps it up, they get the win. And I know, I'm not trying to diss Tatum either. I'm not a part of this movement of let's bring down Jason Tatum because he doesn't have a championship or whatever. The dude is a baller as well, but I'm just merely pointing out. Brown is having a phenomenal year, and it's dope to see that he got the Eastern Conference Final MVP because he's just really been showing out the entire year. But the playoffs, man, this guy was big. He made the big shots. He even had the big three-pointer in the I think it was game three it was. So he really showed out. Boston is moving on. No shock that the Boston Celtics are going to the NBA Finals. They were easily the best team in the Eastern Conference this year. We'll see if they're the best team in the NBA this year, but they are the best team in the Eastern Conference, that's for sure. Moving on to the Western Conference Finals between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Dallas Mavericks. The Timberwolves decided we don't want to get swept. So in game four, they actually did show up in that game. It was a back and forth affair, especially that fourth quarter was boom, 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 and you didn't really know which way it was going to go. Minnesota did hold on to it in the end in the fourth quarter there. They got the win 105-100. Ant had 29 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists, so he almost had a triple-double. Karl Anthony Towns had his best game of the playoffs. I'd say his best two games of the playoffs because he had a good game last night, but we're not talking about that game just yet. But he dropped 25 in game four, and he made a couple of real big shots, too, that really helped them get the win in the end. So they did not get swept, but game five, I got to say, the Minnesota Timberwolves did not show up for that one. I mean, this entire series has been pretty much awful for them except for game four. But game five, I kid you not, they were packed up and ready to go. They were like, hey, we're already in Minnesota. We don't want to head back to Dallas. We want to go ahead and sit here and head off to vacation right after this game. Because, whoa, I mean, it was, first of all, shout out to the Dallas Mavericks. That entire team played solid. Luka was on some last night. The dude was dropping threes from the fucking half court emblem, man. It was just nuts. So it was a great game from Dallas, but whoa. There were some points in this game with the Minnesota Timberwolves like where they basically just like let the Mavericks score. And this is, we're talking the third quarter. It was a bad showing from the Timberwolves last night. But the Mavericks, they are on some. They got the huge win, 124-103. Luka, of course, Western Conference Finals MVP, as he should be. In last night's game, he dropped 36 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. And I am fucking thrilled to see Luka in the finals. I mean, I've been telling y'all. I don't hide how much of a fan I am of Luka. Lakers fan for life. But I love me some Luka Doncic. I've loved Luka Doncic before he was drafted into the NBA. I remember when he was coming into that draft class a few years ago, I was like, oh God, I wish there was a way the Lakers could somehow get Luka because I just knew the guy was going to be a baller. And it's so fantastic to not only see him have a great playoff run here, but the rest of his team is stepping it up. Kyrie, that dude is just doing what he's supposed to do. Rather than throwing his little cunty fits all season, the dude just balled out and is having a phenomenal year as well. Then the rest of the role players. This is just a stacked-ass team. I'm actually really looking forward to this NBA Finals. Like I said, we'll get more into the matchup between Boston and Dallas in the NBA Finals on Monday's show just because it doesn't start till Thursday. So unfortunately, we don't have basketball for an entire fucking week, and I'm going nuts. Thankfully, I get to go see Justin Timberlake tomorrow, so I have something to do on Saturday night because I was hoping I was going to have a game, but I won't, so I'm going to go kick it with Justin tomorrow. So pretty stoked on that, but man, I'm looking forward to this matchup and looking forward to these NBA Finals, and hopefully it's a better show out than the conference finals because, man, both Indiana, it's not really Indiana's fault that Halliburton got injured, but even so, like, they had three of those four games going into the fourth quarter and then just completely fell apart, and not just the fourth quarter, but, like, with 2 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. That's how terrible they played. And then the Timberwolves, I expected a lot more out of them. I mean, you come in there and you take out the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets, and they sunned the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets didn't even look like they had a shot in that series. And then Anthony Edwards disappears and Gobert is on, off. Karl Anthony Towns had a terrible, really just overall playoff run. But I expected a lot more from Minnesota just because of their depth. But hey, Luka's pretty fucking unstoppable, so you can't really blame them for not being able to stop him. So NBA Finals begin on Thursday, and I will be breaking all of that down, the matchup between the Dallas Mavericks and the Boston freaking Celtics, going for championship number 18, by the way. You know I'm not rooting for the Celtics, because I'm a Lakers fan, so go Dallas. All right, so let's move on to some baseball. And not only do we have some updates on what happened throughout the week, but we have some other baseball-related updates as well, historically. And then probably some of the greatest news, if you are a baseball fan, a baseball player, I think there is a bit of baseball news that was announced this week that I think every one of us can agree on, but we'll get there when we get there. So let's start off with the week that was MLB baseball on Monday. As if the Baltimore Orioles weren't stacked enough with this roster, they got a huge win over the Boston Red Sox, 11-3. And Kyle Stowers just got called up, and he went 3-for-4 and hit 4 RBI. Now, he actually has been called up before. He got called up, I believe, last season and played in like 30-some-odd games and just did terrible. Then he gets called up and comes right out and has 4 RBI in his first game. So, I mean, the Orioles are stacked. And I mean, that's not even just what we're looking at on the field. Their farm system is, it's nuts. Their farm system is literally stacked to the roof for probably the next 3 to 5 years. The Orioles, I don't know what the hell they've been doing, but they've been stacking some farm system players, and we got some dudes coming out of the woodwork with Baltimore that are going to blow the Major League Baseball on fire. They're just going to kill it. But Stowers, he came out of nowhere, and here he is knocking in 4 RBI for the Orioles. Then on Tuesday, another guy who came out of nowhere, San Diego Padres took out the Miami Marlins 4-0. But the story was relief pitcher Jeremiah Estrada. They just picked him up off of waivers a couple weeks ago, by the way. And he just came in a relief position. And coming into this game, the two previous games versus the New York Yankees, the previous series, he had 5 strikeouts. Heading into that game. Then had the previous series before the Yankees, they played the Cincinnati Reds, and he had 5 strikeouts from that series. So heading into this series, the dude had 10 straight strikeouts, not just like separated, because he's a relief pitcher, so he's not starting the first inning. He's usually coming in sometimes, usually like 5th, 6th, usually in the end. But his strikeouts, he had 5 straight in Cincinnati, 5 straight in New York. So here he comes into this game against the Miami Marlins and strikes out 3 guys straight, ends up with 13 straight strikeouts, and that is an MLB record. And this guy was picked up off of waivers. So that's what I'm saying, man. That's the great thing about baseball is you can be shit on one team, and then all of a sudden you get picked up by another team, and then you got 13 straight strikeouts. Now, who knows if that's going to last? Who knows if he's going to even be a factor for them this year? But that's pretty dope that you just get picked up. You are just hoping to get on a team, and you come right out the gate, and you have 13 straight strikeouts, and they're all wins, too. So congratulations to Jeremiah Estrada for doing what you got to do. You get picked up off of waivers, and you come right in and say, you know what? That last team that released me, fuck them. I'm going to show them what they're missing, and that's what he did. Then on Wednesday, Paul Skeens, starting pitcher of the Pittsburgh Pirates, he is a rookie this year. He got called up about a month ago, and the guy has been showing out since he got called up. Pittsburgh won over the Detroit Tigers 10-2, and Skeens already had a career day, 11 strikeouts and 6 innings pitched in a big-ass win over the Detroit Tigers. And Pittsburgh's another team where their farm system is really good. Now, it's just they're a team that they just can never get it going, and then they end up trading these guys. So expect to see Paul Skeens as a starting pitcher for somebody else in the next couple of seasons, I imagine. All right, and in some good baseball news, if you are a baseball fan, you are fully aware of what the Negro Leagues are. Basically, if you do not know what the Negro Leagues are, the Negro Leagues were pre-civil rights era baseball teams that, of course, consisted of only black players because, of course, at the time, this was pre-Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier, so black guys weren't allowed to play with the white players. The Negro Leagues had some of the greatest players ever. And hell, even some Negro League players, greats like Hank Aaron and Willie Mays, started in the Negro Leagues, moved up to Major League Baseball, and now are literally two of the greatest baseball players ever. So the Negro Leagues, they not only did we get some great guys come in, but unfortunately, a lot of these guys, I don't want to say have become forgotten, because Major League Baseball has done an excellent job of not forgetting about the Negro Leagues, because the Negro Leagues played a huge, huge, huge part in Major League Baseball today and in the past. And I mean, even all the Babe Ruth used to regularly go check out these games because he knew these guys were great players. And, you know, it had its times. It went for, like, I believe, like four or five years, then went away, then it came back for another, like, 8 years. So it had its ups, it had its downs, but it was definitely where some of the most talented baseball players ever have played. And, you know, like I said, Major League Baseball has done a great job of not forgetting these guys. And that's why it's still called the Negro Leagues. Obviously, none of us speak like that anymore, or at least some of us don't. It's called the Negro Leagues because that's what it was called. You're not going to change it. You're not going to whitewash it. That's just what it was called. And it should continue to be called that because it's history. It is what it is. And these guys were great. And if you call it something else, that's not that league. That's not the league that Hank Aaron and Willie Mays and Josh Gibson and so many great players from that era played in. So, yes, it is jarring to some people. But luckily, Major League Baseball has done a very good job at maintaining and keeping track of what happened in this era. And over many years, I didn't research how many years this has taken this group of people to put this together. But basically, over time, there's been a bunch of statisticians and historical baseball figures and including players who played in the Negro Leagues at the time. They've gathered all of the stats from the Negro League era, and all of them now have officially been added to MLB history books. So we actually have some changes in the history books. So beginning with who I said, his name is Josh Gibson. If you don't know about Josh Gibson and you are a baseball fan, do yourself a favor and go look up Josh Gibson. I'm very familiar with the Negro Leagues because I fucking love so many of these players. I've already even ranked my favorite players from this era. So you can find that in past episodes, I believe in season one, if you really want to. But Josh Gibson is probably the greatest Negro League player ever. And that says a lot because, like I said, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron came from this era, but this guy, he dominated so greatly, and now we get to hear his dominance in statistical, historical, Major League Baseball fact books now. So what has changed now with Josh Gibson? He now officially is the highest batting average in a season. He batted a .466 in 1943. Also in one season, he had the highest slugging percentage, a .974, which was in 1937. And then highest season on base percentage, 1.474 in 1937. And then his career batting average is now a .372, which is the highest in league history. Career slugging percentage has been moved up to .718, which is also highest in Major League Baseball history. And then his career OPS is 1.177, which is also now number one in history. And a lot of those records were either held by dudes like Barry Bonds. A couple of these were held by Babe fucking Ruth. That is how good Josh Gibson was. And so shout out to him. It sucks that he obviously doesn't get to see that this happened. But, you know, it's nice to see that he is getting his accolades. And, you know, a lot of these guys in the Negro Leagues are already enshrined in the Hall of Fame, as they fucking should be. But it's great to see that now Josh Gibson is basically one of the greatest hitters of all time. Hell, one of these guys, I believe it was Ty Cobb, for career batting average, who he is now above. So, like, this guy was amazing. And then also with these Negro League stats, guys like Willie Mays and Hank Aaron, their numbers are now bumped up because they've now combined both of their career stats from Major League Baseball and their Negro League era combined now. So both of their stats have also been padded up. So now we got a lot of different guys in the top five, top two, top one, like Josh Gibson. We've got a lot of changes because of this, and I think it's fucking fantastic. And like I said, if you are not familiar with any of these Negro League players, just do yourself a favor. Look them up. It's hard to find any type of film, of course. On YouTube, you can see some things. But there is so much more than just Jackie Robinson. And Jackie Robinson deserves all his accolades, too. And he was an excellent baseball player. But I'm just saying, there were so many baseball players that so many people aren't really aware of. And now, officially, they are going to be in history books. And I'm excited about it. But even more exciting is the news I was telling y'all about. Every baseball fan, every baseball player, every manager, every owner, every announcer, anybody involved with baseball got some amazing, fantastic news this week. Angel Hernandez, the worst umpire in Major League Baseball history, has officially fucking retired. And all of us are here for it. If you are a baseball fan, you know exactly who the fuck Angel Hernandez is. I can't believe his name is Angel, because his first name should actually be Asshole, because he is the worst fucking umpire to ever, in ever sports, not just baseball, sports history ever, period. And you know me, I have said it many, 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 many times. I do not blame refs and umps for outcomes of games, because you can always point to certain other aspects of the game in which the team fucked up and fell short. But Angel Hernandez has had some of the most egregious, stupid, retarded, motherfucking idiotic calls you have ever seen. And if you're, like I said, if you are a baseball fan, you know exactly who this idiot is. You know when this moron is behind the plate. And I just got to say, good fucking riddance. The greatest news ever this week was that he retired. And guess what? I'm betting this was like a forced retirement. Because if you don't know, how did this happen? So Angel Hernandez has actually been an umpire in this league for 30 fucking years. Yes. Us baseball fans have had to put up with this idiot for 30 fucking years. Now, his reign of terror, I don't know why, but really, really, really started to ramp up over the last 10, 15 years. This guy is that umpire who wants to turn the whole game around into, look at me, I'm the umpire show. And none of us give two shits and a fuck about the umpire. We care about the players on the motherfucking field. Not you. And I know being an umpire is a very, very, very difficult job. I mean, you look at some of the angles they're standing in. Shit, especially if you're behind the plate, you got the chance of getting plugged right in the face by a baseball. You could get hit by a bat. It's a very dangerous thing to be an umpire. And it's also very, very, very difficult. So how did this happen? Because all of us, if you are a baseball fan, we have all been complaining about Angel Hernandez for many, many, many years now. I mean, there are articles about it. You will hear even during a game. You will watch and the announcers will say, ugh, Angel Hernandez is umpiring tonight. We all know that means calls are going to be whatever the fuck he feels like tonight. Oh, that strike I called earlier in the previous inning, not a strike now in the next inning. Like, that is the kind of shit that moron did. And so how did we get here? How did we get here to him finally getting the hell out of here? Well, his last game actually was May 27th. So about a week ago, or a couple, not even a week, about 5 days ago. And there was this terrible, it was the Detroit Tigers versus the New York Mets, and there was this terrible call that he called a swing and called it a strike, but it was a no swing. And I mean, it was so obvious a no swing that basically Angel Hernandez has not been hit back since that moment. And I mean, it was one of those moments where literally the announcers watching the game are like, what's going on here? The Tigers are like, what's going on here? The Mets even are like, what's going on here? Because that's what happens in an Angel Hernandez game. It's not just one team, one player, anybody he's targeting. He's so terrible with everybody. And so in this game, he never came back after this game. He's been gone. He's been on like some leave of absence or some shit. And then it was announced earlier in the week that he thankfully has quote, retired. And we are never going to have to see this idiot be an umpire in a game ever the fuck again. Also, earlier in the season, April 12th to be exact, a Texas Rangers versus the Houston Astros game, a terrible strike was called as well. So he's already had like two games where, and I mean, it was terrible. It was so outside of the box where you're like, even Boo Boo the Fool could call that a ball. Do you not see that dumb shit? But he, of course, didn't. And, you know, it was a Rangers, I believe, telecast. And they were like, what the fuck was that? What is going on here? This is, of course, Angel Hernandez, as usual. So he's already had two terrible calls this year. And then he ended up retiring. And we all say good riddance. So with that being said, I know this is going to be a difficult top five because you're going to need to really see how bad Angel Hernandez is. But I'm going to let you know what his top five worst calls are, and you could go look them up because they are easy to find because that's how terrible asshole Hernandez is. So let's get started with this week's top five. The top five worst calls by Angel Hernandez, beginning with number five. And real talk, y'all, there were many to choose from. Many. And they are not just those, oh, that possibly could have been a strike or that could have been a ball. No, these are like, how did you call that shit? What are you looking at, stupid calls? So let's begin with number five. From August 5th of 2020. First of all, when I saw this, it was kind of a triggering video for me because this was during COVID. And if you'll remember, during COVID, we had the stupid idiot cardboard cutouts in the field. So there weren't even fans at this game. And then, of course, retards are wearing masks and all that dumb shit. So it was a very triggering flashback for me, to say the least. But regardless, there was no crowd in this game that Angel Hernandez was right behind the plate for. But this was the Philadelphia Phillies versus the New York Yankees. And the Yankees are up to bat. I cannot recall who the batter is, but it's the Yankees. I think it was Ford was his last name. I know he wasn't some like major player for the Yankees. It wasn't like it was Aaron Judge, but he was some nobody. And basically, the Phillies pitcher threw a pitch that was about inside and way off the plate. I mean, anybody who is a baseball fan knows. And I've never umpired a game in my life, but if I'm standing behind home plate, I know this was a ball. Like, that's how bad it was. I mean, it was so off the plate. And he called it a strike. And it was so egregious that Phil Nevin, who I believe was the batting coach at the time for the Yankees, he got ejected because the dude ran out on the field and was like, what the fuck kind of call was that? And that was typical asshole Hernandez. Then at number four on my top five worst Angel Hernandez calls, July 31st, 2023. This was against the Washington Nationals versus the Milwaukee Brewers. When I watched this, I was like, what is going on here? So the Nationals ended up stealing a base, first base to second base. And the guy was called Safe. Well, I mean, this guy was so not safe. Like, there was feet between him and the bag. That's how easily he was tagged. And there's Angel Hernandez standing right there, has a clear-cut view. There's nobody even in front of him. There's nothing in front of him. Clear-cut fucking view of this slide into second base. He calls him safe. It is, I mean, way off. It is so easy to make this call, but not when you're Angel Hernandez. And luckily, this is in 2023, just last year, and the Brewers were able to review this. And upon further review, the call was overturned and the guy was called out because, I don't know, there was like a whole 6 feet between him and the base. Jesus Christ, fucking Angel Hernandez, the worst at his job. Then at number three on my top five worst Angel Hernandez calls, July 8th, 2022, the Minnesota Twins versus the Texas Rangers. This was another clearly egregious call. So, the Twins are up to bat. I believe it was Buxton, actually, who hit this ball. He hits it. It goes up the third base line, and it bounces right on the chalk. I mean, clear as day, chalk bounces up. It's right in the middle. It's not even a close call. Well, guess what? Angel Hernandez is right behind third base. So, you know what that means? It's going to be a wrong call. You know what he called it? He called it a fucking foul ball. He called it a fucking foul ball. And even the Rangers announcers in the clip I'm watching are like, wow, the Rangers really got lucky with that one because that was obviously a hit. But of course, you know, Angel Hernandez is behind third base, so it's going to be the wrong call. And the Twins, unfortunately, you couldn't do instant replay on that one. So unfortunately, they weren't able to go back and have that call taken back. But wow. It's a terrible call because Angel Hernandez was there. Then at number two on my top five worst Angel Hernandez calls, April 24th, 2022. This one actually really stands out to me because I was watching this game in real time and I wasn't shocked by this. So it was the Milwaukee Brewers versus the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, I have to, before we get to what happened with Kyle Schwarber, this game was so poorly called. This is why Schwarber erupted. Because, like I said, Angel Hernandez was an equal opportunity asshole with everybody when it came to his terrible calls. And in this game, it was probably one of the worst games he umpired ever. His strike zone was so all over the place. I remember watching, that's why I was watching the game. Because I think I just happened to have it on ESPN. And I wasn't really interested in the Brewers versus the Phillies because it was like just a regular season game. Just the middle, I think it was like, it was an April game. Yeah, so it was at the beginning of the season. But I just happened to be watching it. And I remember I stuck with it because I was like, oh, it's an Angel Hernandez game. And he's really calling terrible ones. So Kyle Schwarber is up to bat. And once again, this was a low ball called a strike. And I mean, it was so low and so off the plate. Even if your eyes are cross-eyed, you're going to fucking see that this shit was a ball. And he called it a strike. And Kyle Schwarber lost his shit. And he lost his shit for everybody. That's why he lost his shit, because he had seen horrible call after horrible call after horrible call leading up to his at-bat. And I believe this was probably his second or third at-bat now. So he had already dealt with the stupid idiocy that was Angel Hernandez. And also, this is not the first game that anybody's had a problem with him. As a matter of fact, there were a couple Phillies calls that I could have put on this top five list. So the Phillies have had issues with Hernandez in the past as it is. But Schwarber loses his shit, and he's right, because it's funny. He turns right around him, and you can even see. You can't hear what he's saying, but he puts his hands down to where the ball was, and he's like, that was not a strike. That was way outside the box. And then over here with the other guys, because Milwaukee, so he points to Milwaukee's bench, and he says, for them, you say it's a strike, but it's way outside the box here, and then it's way, and he just is losing his shit, and it was hilarious, and it was warranted because Angel Hernandez is terrible at his fucking job. Thankfully, we don't have to see him do this anymore. Now let's get to number one. On my top five worst Angel Hernandez calls ever. September 14th, 2020. Yes, another triggering one because this is goddamn COVID. But here we go again. No crowd. So get the call right, stupid. You have zero distractions in your fucking face. No fucking crowd. Minnesota Twins versus the Chicago White Sox. I kid you not. This is the worst. Out of the three calls where it's been off of the plate, this one was so bad. So Eloy Jimenez is up to bat. And Minnesota throws a pitch. Boom. It is up high and so off the plate. And I mean, it's up high. And Eloy Jimenez, he bats righty. And the ball went left. So Hernandez has no excuse as to why he missed this call. And I mean, it was terrible. It is so fucking terrible. It's so high. It's so out of the strike zone that it's in Mars, basically, is where this ball was pitched to. But you know, Angel Hernandez, the game's got to be all about him, and he called his ass out, and it was terrible. But thankfully, Angel Hernandez has officially retired. As I said before, I believe it was a forced retirement where Major League Baseball is finally like, dude, we got to get you out of here. Because I'm not the only one. Where do you think I found these five plays? Because if you just Google Angel Hernandez worst calls, you are going to get so many to choose from. So it actually was difficult for me to whittle it down to five. I probably could have done 10 if I really wanted to, but I knew it was going to be kind of difficult to describe these rather than see them. So if you get a chance, go see how terrible Angel Hernandez is. But if you are a baseball fan, you already know how terrible Angel Hernandez was at his job. And thankfully, he is gone. And none of us ever, ever, ever have to see that stupid idiot behind home plate calling terrible calls. We no longer have to see him calling fucking outs, or I mean safe, when the dude was clearly out at second. The guy was terrible. Get the fuck out of the game. You will be not be missed at all by anybody. Peace the fuck out. Every person involved with baseball is thrilled by this, and I'm sure your family's upset because now they're stuck with you at home all fucking season long. You fucking asshole, Angel Hernandez. You will not be missed. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.